Tonight to John chapter number 8, John chapter number 8, and I know I sound like a broken record, but I do want to say thank you once again to the church, and in my time of thanksgiving to the Lord, I always thank the Lord for any opportunity I get to not only preach, but to be able to serve them, and I'm thankful for preachers that gave me a chance as a younger preacher and still giving me a chance as an older preacher. And I appreciate not only pastors that give me an opportunity to preach behind their pulpits, but I appreciate the church treating us like royalty. We don't deserve that at all whatsoever. And I felt like I was going to have to rent a U-Haul trailer to take all the snacks that you left to send the room, but two other preachers were sharing the house with me, so we don't have as many as I thought we did. Amen. But anyway, but we thank you very much, and church, we love you and we appreciate you. And I want to say I came up here today and just earlier this morning I was just walking and praying, and about 3 years ago I just started not only with my own personal walk with God, reading the Word of God and praying, and I won't sing for you, but I sing for the Lord. I even sing in my prayer time and in my walk with the Lord. But about a few years ago, I started adding a sermon to that and just listen to a sermon every single day. And I listened to your preacher today, and boy, I don't have to tell you this, but boy, you've got a mighty fine preacher. You're not only a pastor, but a preacher, amen. And I'm not putting myself in this category whatsoever, and I know you've got a lot of good men that come and stand behind this pulpit, visiting preachers stand behind this pulpit and preach the Word of God, but you'll never have a better preacher or a better pastor that will stand behind this pulpit than your pastor, amen. And I appreciate that good message on putting your hand to the plow, amen. What a good message. And this is the only time I'm going to give him credit for it, but I'm still in that message, and I'll never give you credit for it once again, amen. So I appreciate that. I don't mind taking a good gospel message from another man and using it to beat the devil over the head once again with it, amen. So I appreciate that good message. John chapter number 8, John chapter number 8. Let's stand as we take reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Just going to give you just a truth that's been heavy on my heart today. And boy, I certainly want to have this testimony with my Savior. I want you to look at it tonight. John chapter number 8. Look at verse number 28. Boy, it sure is good to see Brother Patterson again. Brother Deadman, it's been a while since we've seen him. I've knocked a lot of doors with Brother Deadman, telling folks about the Lord in El Dorado, Arkansas. And I appreciate him. I'm going to read verse number 28 and verse number 29. Then Brother Deadman, would you open us up in prayer after I read verse number 29? The Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone." Now I want you to look what the Lord Jesus Christ said about Himself. He didn't say it in a boastful manner. He didn't say it in a conceited manner. He didn't say it in a prideful manner whatsoever. Jesus said this. He said, "For I do always those things that please Him." Brother Deadman.
Father, we sure love you tonight.
Spirit of God, please do to
me. Loving us and being so good to us. And Lord, we're begging you, Lord, for your Spirit to come down and speak to our hearts.
Please, dear God, we ask. Please, dear God.
Lord, I pray we'd all be better Christians for being here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated tonight. Jesus said, "For I do always those things that please Him." Who was He pleasing? He was pleasing the Father. What a thought. What a testimony. This one man, the man Christ Jesus, lived such a different life than anyone else ever has in the flesh, that every single action done in the flesh by Christ pleased God the Father. Every morning when he got out of bed, he pleased the Father. His relationship with his earthly parents, his siblings, others in the community, it all pleased God. His ministry, including all the teaching, all the preaching, all the healing, every miracle that he ever performed, every single bit of it, pleased God. And we understand that Christ was able to do always those things which pleased God because he was God in the flesh. We understand that you and I will never be able to always do those things that please God, but it sure would be a good goal to shoot for in our lives, wouldn't it? And it's a sad reality that many of God's people will spend their entire lives trying to please everyone else. There's times in life where we don't even give a second thought to the great God of heaven and pleasing Him. I came across a statement many years ago, and boy, I sure would like for it to be a testimony of mine. That statement says this: I'm so satisfied with Christ that my only desire in life is that Christ be satisfied with me. We understand tonight God, or the Lord Jesus Christ, was able to do always those things that please Him. How many of us tonight as God's children would say, Brother Dallas, I sure would like to do always those things that please the Father? How many of us would say that tonight? Well, the Bible gives us some clear-cut instruction on how you and I can be pleasing to the Father. Let me get right into it. I'm going to get out of the way, and I'm looking forward to preacher here in just a little while. Look at Romans chapter number 8. Romans in chapter number 8 tonight. Romans in chapter number 8. This is the Apostle Paul speaking here. He said in Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 7. He said, the Bible says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, going in a different direction than God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Look at verse number 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Can I say, first of all, tonight, if you're going to be pleasing to God, and if I'm going to be pleasing to God, number one, we're going to have to find out what it is to purge the flesh. To purge the flesh. That word purge means to cleanse or purify by separating or carrying off that which is impure. Turn your Bibles over one chapter and look what Paul said in Romans chapter 7 and verse number 18. Romans chapter number 7 and verse number 18. Paul said this, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." Paul said, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh." And child of God, may we be reminded tonight, if there's nothing good about your flesh or my flesh, that's the real you, that's the real me, that it makes sense that we should not want it any part of our lives. It makes no difference of what our stature is. It makes no difference of what our ability is. It makes no difference of how long we've sat on a church pew. Your flesh and my flesh will fail us, but thank God the Spirit of God that lives inside of us will never lead us wrong. Amen. I'm working on a message right now to preach at an upcoming conference. And I'm going to preach a message when David tarried still in Jerusalem. And as a result of David's inconsistency, he committed a sin that forever altered his life and the lives of all others around him when he committed that sin with Bathsheba. And can I say tonight, I'm going to title the message, Relaxing During the Battle. And child of God, it's a good day in every one of our lives that we realize there's not a day off. There's not a day off in this battle. There's no relaxing during the battle. I understand that we may take breaks and we may take vacations, but my friend, when it comes to the spiritual sense in walking with God, you and I cannot afford to take a day off in walking with God. You mark it down, child of God, the day that you and I, as fleshly men and women, take one day off in walking with God, mark it down. The world, the flesh, and the devil do not take a day off in bringing temptation in our lives. Number one, we must find out what it is to purge the flesh. There's two natures that beat within our breast. The one is cursed, the other is blessed. The one I love, the other I hate. But the one I feed will surely dominate. And I don't want to feed to the old man that was headed to hell for 22 years of his life. I want to feed to the new man that's been saved by the grace of God. But I can't feed upon worldly things and feed upon carnal things. I must find out what it is to feed on the Word of God and have that sincere walk with God and die to the flesh and be led by the sweet Spirit of God. Amen. Number two tonight, if we're going to be pleasing to God, not only must we purge the flesh, but number two, if we're going to be pleasing to God, we're going to have to find out what it is to practice faith. Can we be reminded tonight, child of God? It is displeasing to our Heavenly Father when His children do not have faith in Him. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Oprah. And hearing by the word of Dr. Phil. No, but that's the way most of the world lives their life, by what they say. But I'm glad tonight, as a blood-bought child of God, I can live by what God says. Amen. And I don't have to live in fear. I can live by faith. May we also be reminded that the devil's a liar and he's the father of lies. But thank God tonight, when God gives us a promise, we can take that promise to the bank. God is coming through with that promise. What exactly is faith? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What is that substance? That substance is the Word of God, amen. And as I read my Bible, I see that men, women, boys and girls, they live by faith in God and they were able to get over to the other side. But I also have read in the Bible that God's not a respecter of persons. And my friend, if they can live by faith, you and I can live by faith as well, amen. Faith is the heart seeing what the eye cannot. Faith is believing in something I cannot see. Faith only happens when I realize I can't do it, but it must be God. Faith is me believing that the Bible is the very Word of God and obeying everything that it says and trusting that it is pure, holy, and right. Not only tonight will not only how you and I can please God, number one, purge the flesh. Number two, practice faith very quickly. Number three, turn your Bibles to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Can I say first of all tonight, purging the flesh pleases God. Practicing faith pleases God, and producing fruit pleases God. Amen. The whole purpose that Christ left us on this earth was to tell others about Him and that He's the only way to heaven. He told us to occupy till I come. That doesn't mean that God's purpose for us is to build big bank accounts and drive fancy cars and live in nice houses and strive to be as smart as we can be and populate the world. The list goes on and on. And those things in themselves are not bad things, but we must remember and we must understand that we as Christians are to be producing fruit. Amen. The Bible says, here is my Father glorified or pleased that ye may bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Each individual person, I believe this with all my heart. I believe every single person that's saved by the grace of God, there are people in your life and there are people in my life that will give you a listening ear to the gospel when they won't give me a listening ear to the gospel. Amen. We please God when we produce fruit. Can I tell you, my friend, I couldn't help for the tears to begin to stream when I heard about little William Davis getting saved by the grace of God. Amen. And can I tell you, I just want to tell everybody else, like preacher preached last night, I don't want to keep it to myself. I want to tell somebody else about what Jesus has done. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah. Isaiah, chapter number 53. Isaiah, chapter number 53. I want to be pleasing to the Lord. We can please the Lord by purging the flesh. We can please the Lord by practicing faith. We can please the Lord by producing fruit. Can I say tonight it pleased God for His Son to pay the sin debt in full? Look at Isaiah chapter 53. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says, "But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. So He opened not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was He stricken. And He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, because He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He had put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand." Can we be reminded, my friend, or maybe tonight, this is the first time you ever heard it. Well, let me say tonight, my friend, before the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and shed His blood for your sin and for my sin, a man was in an awful a position. A man was had the condemnation upon God upon his life. And man would be separated from God for all of eternity. But the God of heaven loved man so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross, shed His blood for your sin, for my sin, for all of mankind's sin, so that we could be saved by the grace of God. And it pleased God for His Son to pay the payment in full, so that man can be saved. I don't know who you may be tonight, but I feel impressed. Maybe tonight somebody on the sound of my voice is lost and undone. Let me give you the gospel in 1 minute. First of all, in the book of Genesis, we see the creation of man. That man's name was Adam. God gave His creation a commandment. That commandment was, you can partake of everything in the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God saw that it was not good for Adam to be left alone, so God gave Adam, number three, a companion. Her name was Eve. Number four, we find that the serpent, which is the picture of Satan, he begins to question, he begins to deny the Word of God, and begins to say, "Yea, if God said," she said, "well, we can partake of everything in the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because the day that we eateth thereof, we shall surely die." He said, "You're not going to die, but you'll see yourself as gods." And the Bible says that Eve partook of the fruit, and she did give to her husband, and he did eat. And that's the compromise of man. And when Adam partook of that forbidden fruit, God's condemnation fell upon Adam, and God kept up with His end. The very moment that Adam partook of that fruit, Adam began to die that very moment. But you understand, Adam's sin in the garden did not only affect Adam, but it affected every man, it affected every woman, it affected every boy, it affected every girl. And from 6,000 years later, from the creation of man until this day, you're a sinner and I'm a sinner because of Adam's sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, "Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And my friend, can I say tonight, if you die without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not because of the water, it's not because of the church. The only way a person escapes the fire of hell is through Jesus Christ. We see the creation of man. We see the commandment to man. We see the compromise of man. We see the condemnation of man. We see the creation, the commandment, the compromise, we see the condemnation. But thank God, we see the compassion of an Almighty God. Amen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You understand tonight? If you died for your sin, or if I died for my sin, we would still go to hell. There was only one that could die for the sins of all mankind, and His name was Jesus Christ. And God was pleased with the payment in full by His Son. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. Lord, we certainly thank You, Lord, for loving us. We thank You for saving us. Dear God, Lord, I'm so sorry as a fleshly man that I can't always be at the place where I please You, Lord. I haven't always pleased You, Lord, but I sure desire to be there. Dear God, the Bible gives us clear-cut instruction on how we can be pleasing to You. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would all find our place every single day where we would put zero dependency upon this old flesh, but 100% dependency on the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. I pray, Lord, that we would purge the flesh. I pray that we'd practice faith. I pray, Lord, that we would produce fruit. And I pray, Lord, that we'd tell others the payment was paid in full.